Hi there, welcome to this segment of your show. Like I said in the beginning, my guest today is none other than someone who doesn't really need an introduction. Zane Mears is a popular actor here in South Africa. He's also a film producer and as well as the CEO of the Fatherhood Foundation. Zane, you're welcome to the show.
I thank you for having me, Chin. It's great to be here.
It's great to finally have you and God made this possible. Zane, many people watching you, you've been in their sitting room over the years. Like one of our cameramen said, I know that face. You've made them think, you've made them laugh, you've made them, you know, emotions up and down. Yeah. But some of them don't know something of what profoundly changed your life and marked your life, your encounter with Christ. Can you tell us how you met Jesus?
Yes. Listen, I've been in this industry for nearly 40 years now, just on 30 odd years. So it's been long. But the basis of everything that I do, obviously, is my faith. And I had a beautiful... I gave my heart to the Lord twice. I think I'm the only person ever to have done that. I was at a church, Rhema Church, one of our big churches here in South Africa. And there was a guy who came to preach here by the name of Tim Story.
Okay.
And he preached the message, "Your miracle is in motion."
Okay.
And I wasn't even in the main auditorium. I was in the overflow room. And I felt that day as if he was preaching just for me. I had just come out of a very heavy relationship. And then this man spoke this message to me. And I felt like he was preaching just to me. And I did the altar call right there. Because he was saying, "Your miracle."
And you stepped out.
The message impacted me so much that I wrote a play called "Your Miracle is in Motion."
Wow.
Miracle. I wrote a song called "Miracle in Motion."
Wow.
And we toured South Africa with the play in communities. We used to do this play. And we used the music of Carmen. Carmen and Commissioned and those kind of people put their music in this play. And then Carmen came to South Africa a few years later when I met my wife. And my wife was pregnant with our first child. And Carmen, I'm a very big fan of Carmen.
American musician.
Yes. He came to South Africa. And he came and he did the show at the open air show. You know, he does all his shows are free. And he sang a song, "This Blood is for You." And then immediately after that, he did an altar call. And that song affected me so much, I went up again for the altar call. So I've given my heart to the Lord twice. And that was 30 years ago. And so I think I'm one of the few people who gave their heart to the Lord twice. But I grew up in faith. You know, my father was Anglican. My mother was Catholic. We all went to Catholic church growing up. We did catechism and our first communion and all of that. But the things change when, as you grow up, you know, the Bible says you go from the milk to the meat. And I always felt that there was more for me out there, you know, more. And I used to, I started at varsity when I went to university. We had a Bible group on a Wednesday where we would dissect the word. We'd go through the word. And so my understanding of God and Jesus and his salvation changed from the Catholic version to something that was very Pentecostal. And so that changed for me.
Yeah, and with this foundation, you took all of this into the platform God has given you.
Well, God spoke to me.
Yeah, okay.
I turned 40. So about 12 years after I gave my heart to the Lord, and as I turned 40, God commissioned me. You know, 40 is a very important number publicly. Yeah. So when I turned 40, God said to me, "Zane, I need you to speak to men." So I started speaking about, I started a men's ministry in my church. Our church didn't have a men's ministry. And then when I started going to speak at events as a celebrity, I noticed there were more women and children than
men. Okay.
And also three of my sisters are single mothers.
Oh.
So I wondered, where are the men? What's happening? And that's when God gave me the specific commission to speak on fatherhood.
Tell us a bit about Fatherhood Foundation, which has been a passion and a ministry for you for a long while. So it started with that call at the age of 40. What was the vision that God born out of it? What were you desiring and you still desire to do through it?
Well, God gives you a passion for a thing. That's how he sometimes called you. You know, I saw what my sisters were going through. I saw what society looked like. When I did prison ministries, I saw the prisons were full of young men. And the question I always asked them, "Why are you here?" And they go, "Well, we don't have role models. We don't have mentors. I grew up without a father. And that was the issue. God said, "This is what I want you to talk about." And so it became, I always say acting is my career.
Okay.
But fatherhood is my calling. You know, so you can have a career and a calling, yeah. And everybody's called like that. You know,
yeah.
You God gives you a talent,
yeah,
to earn money,
mm-hmm.
and then you are called to change this world for His kingdom.
Wow!
Or
and,
rich people.
And it's been like 17 years since you've been doing
it's
this.
It's been
now.
18 years.
18
now.
Years. Now
this year, 2024 will be 18 years.
What are some testimonies you've seen in the lives of men? I mean, if there's some stories that come to mind of one or two men that you know, this is what happened to them as a result of Fatherhood Foundation.
I've seen relationships mm-hmm. mended. I've seen bridges mended. I've seen people. I was once in a. We were out in the bush camping with some men, and this young man was crying the whole weekend as I was speaking. I noticed he came up for every altar call mm-hmm. we did, and he always cried. He even cried while we were ministering,
mm-hmm.
and he would come and say that the words that I'm speaking, he'd never heard from a man before.
Mm-hmm.
His vision of fatherhood and manhood was totally separate. He used to watch his father, who was a second dan karate expert, hit his mother on a daily basis. And because the father was a karate expert, he would hit the mother when he knew it would hurt them. And this young man tried to stand up to his father, but his father used to beat him. So much so that he couldn't have a relationship with men in authority. He couldn't hold a job. He couldn't be in church. Because the men of authority, he always thought they would abuse that authority. And when I had spoken to him how God wants men to be and how fatherhood comes from the very heart of God, he cried that all week. He said, he never heard anything like that. The scripture I always use, Jim, is out of the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, that says that God will send a prophet, and it's not one person, it's people who carry the spirit of Elijah. He says, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the coming day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the family. Then the hearts of the children and the family will turn to the fathers. Or else, God says, I will strike the land with a curse. If you look at South Africa and society today, everybody comes to South Africa. Everybody sees it as the lighthouse of Africa, the jewel of the continent. But when they come here, they see, oh, this place has just as many problems as other countries. And our biggest problem is society. Our family unit is broken. Men are out of place. Men are gone. And so the breach is broken. There's a gap. And so the enemy comes in and he steals the young men and the young women. And it leaves the women defenseless. Women now have to play two roles. They've got to play mommy and daddy. And God didn't design women to be two roles. He designed it to be the helper. Not to be the leader and the strong one in the house, the helpmate, equal to man, but the helpmate. And unfortunately today in South Africa, two-thirds of our homes in South Africa are single-parent homes.
What do you think is the root of it? Because this is not just in South Africa.
No.
Even those watching in other countries would attest that it's everywhere. What do you think what affects men so much that it makes them, this cycle just keep going on?
Well,
did you have a father?
I had a father.
Okay, so that
and you know the funny thing is,
you.
My dad died when I was 14.
Okay, so he left
just
early.
As I was becoming a man.
Yeah, okay.
I needed him, and he passed away. So I think also maybe that was mine. But luckily, I had good role models.
Okay.
I had good mentors. I had good father figures. And fatherhood, I want to say this, fatherhood is not biological. It doesn't have to be biological fathers. It can be your brother. It can be your uncle. It can be the school teacher, the rugby coach, the soccer coach. Someone who's a good, strong male role model that teaches you good values, positive values, because boys will join gangs because they don't belong to a gang called family, led by a leader called father. That's why they go to gangs. They want to belong. And fathers are made to make us feel like we belong to something. They give us our identity. Identity is not who you are. This is a whole message I preach. Identity is not your name. It's not what you do. It's whose you are. It's not who you are. Whose are you? Where do you come from? In African culture, we understand ancestry. You know, some religions even venerate our ancestors. Yeah. Now, if you don't even know who your father is and who is his father and so on, you don't really know who you are. You'll never know who you are. Because fathers give us, if you look in the Bible, the book of Matthew, after God speaks these words, that the heart of the father must turn. Mm. The very next page when you turn is the book of Matthew.
Genealogy.
It gives the genealogy now. Mm. This one gave birth to this one and this one and this one. And then at the end, Jesus. You know, so there's a lineage.
Mm.
You must know whose you are before you know who you are.
Mm.
And fathers give us that. And too many young boys grow up today and young girls not knowing whose they are.
If you're speaking to somebody who is listening to this and say, Zen, you're speaking to me, maybe then two ends. So you speak to two different people. It's the person looking for a father figure, and it's the man who finds himself, who has failed.
Yeah.
He's hearing you. Give a message to each of them before we now look at your journey through the acting career.
Well, you know, for me, it's very easy. Not easy. It's never too late to build a bridge. Fathers who have failed, fathers who have neglected their children, you know, because sometimes we make kids with one woman, then we marry another woman, and then that child, the mother's always saying, that's your father, and that child grows up with a, why am I not good enough?
Mm.
Children always blame themselves. When it comes to divorce or neglect or abandonment, children blame themselves. They go, I wasn't good enough to be loved. And that's never the truth. It's never the truth. So I want to say to those men, it's never too late to go back. Never, never too late. We serve a God of a second chance, Jim.
Mm.
If he can give us 70 chances times 7 in one day, you know, how much more is it? So we can go back and fix things.
Mm-hmm.
We can go back and ask for forgiveness, which is an important thing. We can go back and build the bridge of connection.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that. It's never too late.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then for young people going, I grew up without my father. What kind of dad must I be?
Mm-hmm.
Become the father that you wanted
mm-hmm.
when you grew up. Become, when you have your own children, give them what you never had.
Mm-hmm.
So if your father never said, I love you,
mm-hmm.
tell your children, like I do, every day. Tell my kids, Daddy loves you. We grew up where fathers didn't say, I love you.
It was not
fathers were,
it was
very
contrary.
Yeah, you say, Dad, how are you doing? He goes, You know, he never said, he never showed emotion. He ate his food.
That's a man.
Hey, quiet, yeah. He thought that was being a man. We never heard the words, I'm proud of you. And I love you. We never heard those things. You know, so I change it. I tell my kids every day.
Every day.
Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you, and I'm proud of you. You know, boys and girls want to hear two things.
Mm.
They want to hear a lot of stuff.
Mm.
But girls want to hear, you're beautiful, and I love you. Those are the first times she must hear those words.
Yeah.
Must come out of a father's mouth. You're beautiful, and I love you. And boys want to hear, I'm proud of you, and you've got it.
Mm.
He doesn't know what he's got. He must just know he's got it.
You know, figure it out.
Exactly. You, my father says, I've got it. I don't know what it is yet, but
I have it.
And I think that's what's missing in our young people.
And Zane is available. He goes around teaching in different countries around South Africa. So this is something, like, you see the way he's pounced on it. This is something very close to his heart.
Yes.
And I'm sure you could spend the whole day expanding and unpacking this. Zen will be happy to come into your churches, into your meetings, even into corporate settings.
Absolutely.
Because this thing you're talking about is not just a Christian thing, you know.
No.
It's a question even the society is asking.
It's a societal.
I watch and I listen to the news over and over again.
Mm.
It's coming out that the scientists and research has proven that lack of fatherhood is really at the root of many societal problems.
Yes.
Zen, let's talk about your journey in the acting world. You started acting at what age? You say you've been there for almost 40 years, 30 something years.
Many people will tell you I was the class clown at gym in school.
Right from school.
I was the one making
your
jokes.
Your fellow mates, your colleagues didn't know you were practicing with them.
Exactly. You know, I was always the one, Zane, come sit in front. It was
me. The teacher calling you to be able to watch you.
Yeah. You know, and then in high school, we did a play and I won an award for the play. A regional. We went and played against other schools.
Wow.
And I won an award. And back then, it was still during apartheid.
Mm.
We played against other white schools.
Yeah.
And I won an award for that. So, and then my teacher said, it's something you should you should consider doing. A teacher, not my mother, not my sisters.
A teacher who should rather tell you to study.
You should do acting.
They saw it in you.
Yes. And you know, thank God for that teacher that she saw that. She then helped me to get into university. She said, well, this is a choice. And she introduced me to a lecturer, and he said, no, you've got talent. Come and teach.
So did you study acting?
I studied at Wits University.
Acting.
Drama.
Yes. Yeah.
Learned about drama, Shakespeare, all of those kind of things, film, all of that kind of stuff, you know. And during my third year of study, I got my first professional role, which toured overseas, which traveled. And when I came back from that, I got my first television role. That was a theater play.
Which television role was that?
It was a TV series called The Game.
Okay.
It was a rugby soap.
Okay.
And, you know, rugby's big in South Africa.
Yeah, very, very.
So it was the number one show in South Africa. And so that's where my fame began. That people knew me from this TV series called The Game. And then after that, I got into soapies, you know. And I did Isidingo, I did Sievendelaan, I did Scandal, I did about four or five different soapies. I've been in most of them. And I did theater, and I've written movies and acted in movies. And, you know, and I love this industry. I love this industry. It's a gift I believe God gave me.
How do you feel when you're on set acting? Because there's something that happens to a man when he's in his gifted.
Yes.
What happens to you? How do you feel?
I love it. You know, we have a saying, a friend of mine and I have a saying, it beats work. What we do, like this, you know, this beats work. The cameramen are working, we're having fun.
Of all the characters you've had, which one would you say is dearest to your heart? Like, if you look at, I mean, there's so many of them, but there are a few that would be special to you. Which of your characters closest to your heart and why?
I am still known today, even after the show is closed.
Mm.
The show is closed last year, and I was on the show for 12 years. Sievendelaan, Mr. Menkes. You know, I can go anywhere in this country. People go, hey, Mr. Menkes. All races, everywhere.
Second identity.
You know, I'm even known as Pastor Menkes in some churches. Some churches introduced me as Pastor Menkes.
That's brought the message this morning.
They believe my character on TV is me, you know. So that one is the most famous one, you know. And I enjoyed working with the people on that show. We became like family. 12 years, every day you're together.
It's a long, long time.
You know.
It's more than what people see on the screen. It's also the relationships that are behind the scenes.
Yes. You become lifelong friends and family. You know, it stays with you forever.
You know, people, sometimes Christians have this problem of, now you're a born again Christian. We started by talking about how on fire for Jesus you are. And then you find yourself in a secular setting where you're representing different things.
Mm.
And there is among Christians who are in the art who say, if you're acting, you've got to act Christian things.
Yeah.
And being Christian movies, being Christians. Yes. And others say, you know the argument.
Yes.
What has God taught you? What has God taught you about this kind of argument, as well as understanding kingdom principles in this setting? What has God taught you over the years?
God has taught me to be salt and light wherever I go.
How does that work out?
You know, so when I come onto a set, I would like people to enjoy being around me. I'm not difficult. I'm joyful. I bring the light and the joy of the Lord into a set, you know. You know, I did a movie last year where I directed. My wife and I produced and directed a movie. And every day we prayed. And people were confused. Like, we just prayed before this program.
Yeah, yeah.
No, on a it's professional like, movie set. No one prays.
That.
The guy going,
what's that?
By week two, they were going, oh, can I share scripture? Share scripture?
Wow,
you know, you are salt and light where you're going.
You bring that flavor out of people.
Yes, people say to me, oh, you only play good guys. I say, no, I play the bad guys.
Bad guys.
But I don't, a big thing for me is using the Lord's name in vain.
So tell me about that. I've had several actors.
Yeah.
You know, Muzin Tabella.
Yes.
You know, even Nigerian actors. I've had several here. And I always ask them this question. What are some characters you will never play? Or what are some scripts that you would say? What makes you, what would you look for in a script? What are some, you understand what I mean?
Yes, yes.
You could look at they send you a script. No, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, this I'll do.
Yes.
What are some no-no for you for characters and for stories?
Well, I think in anything demonic or very, I don't even watch horror movies. Oh,
I don't.
I don't even watch them. So if you want me to act in horror movies, I'm going to say no, thank you. You know, I'm not going to open that door. We forget we open doors when we watch these things. You know,
so you're also sensitive to that, yeah.
Yes. Also, unnecessary swearing.
Okay.
I look at that, well, this character swears a lot. If it's here and there, I can change it.
Yes, yes.
Especially when they put in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
I say, guys, I'm not going to say that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say, they use Jesus as a swear word, and that for me is a big thing. You know, so
it's heavy in the movie industry now. Like,
yes. And I've seen some so-called Christian actors use the name of Jesus.
Says nothing.
Say the name of Jesus like a swear word. I'm like, dude, you know, where's your testament? Tell the director, I'm not going to say this.
You got to change that.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to use it like a swear word. And so for me, those are the no-nos.
Those are the no-nos.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise,
what about a story? If you see a story, it might look redemptive. Value of a story. Do you weigh that? You know,
every
story, whether it's secular or what or whatever it is, the measure of redemptive.
Yeah.
Do you look for that?
Absolutely.
The arc. Okay.
Always. Even when I write. Even when I write, I write the character to start it here, go through a crisis, meet his crisis point over here, and by the end. He's got to be a changed person who's a better person who's come through the light. It's a basic thing of writing as well, when you write characters. But for me...
But you know why I'm saying this? There's a lot of shift that's happened, especially, I don't know how much you watch the American scene. Breaking Bad was a series.
Yes.
And it made the hero. He was an anti-hero.
It's an anti-hero. Anti-heroes are big things.
Big things, you understand what I mean? So suddenly, I have a sense that you're calling evil good and good evil. You understand what I mean?
And that's the writer's challenge. He's a bad guy. But what is his redeeming quality for us to like him?
Yeah, but if you don't
can't get away from that.
If you don't take him on a journey of... For me, I don't. It doesn't matter how, because that's a gospel. It doesn't matter how bad the character
that's
is. Take The Flight. If you ever saw Denzel Washington in The Flight.
Yes.
And you see the journey that the guy takes.
At the end, he has to own up and say, I messed up. I'm the guy.
You see that?
That's the moment.
Powerful.
That's the moment.
But when you have something that ends by affirming sin.
Yes. Yeah.
It gets me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I think it's intentionally done by some writers and producers and all. Intentionally done to affirm some values which are contrary to the
truth. Absolutely. I think that's an important, that's a discussion for an entire program.
Yeah.
I think.
It's something that we in the sector have to watch out.
Yes.
What do you say to people who are coming into this platform, and you say, look, and he said, look, Zane, I want to be able to hold my Christian testimony. I want to be able to shine for Jesus. What is the secret? What has helped you have a staying power so that even after almost 40 years, you can stand up and say, I follow Jesus? And people can look and say, yeah, I know that guy is true. I work with him.
Yeah.
What are the principles or what is the secret?
For me is, as I said earlier, what is your base? What is your foundation? If the foundation is strong, anything you build on it will be fine. My foundation is my faith. The way I raise my kids, my marriage, the way they go to school, my children, what work I take on, everything is built on that foundation of my faith. So I don't compromise that. People know. They know, oh no, Zane's not going to play that part or do this because
you know, of what it stands for.
It's not that it's fuddy-duddy.
Yeah.
I play everything. I play bad guys.
Yeah.
I play everything.
Yeah.
It's just that that's a level.
Yeah, there's a line it draws.
Yeah. So for me, when and your testimony will speak for you.
Yeah.
You know? How you live. People go, no, he always that kind of guy. And also, he's a guy who won't come late. He won't not pitch up. He'll always be encouraging. He'll always he's part of the team. So people want you on board because they know, he's a team player.
He will deliver.
He's going to deliver.
Oh.
He's going to bring the best, you know. Those are things, and it only comes with experience, I suppose. You can't come day one and go, people go, okay, I don't know Jim, but But after day one, you must have made an impact. After that first few minutes on set, people must go, it's a guy we can rely on. This is a good guy, you know.
So one of the first things, of course, is that you don't want to keep your faith behind. You carry it. You're not ashamed of the gospel.
I don't go around throwing it around. Yeah, you don't see me walking with the Bible going, hey, guys, repent. Yeah,
You're not ashamed to say, I can't do that.
Absolutely.
You're not holding, trying to blend in as much as trying to just represent Christ.
I'm salt and light.
In what you say.
I'm going to change the situation. My light is going to shine forth. I know the scene says this, but I'm going to play it in such a way. You didn't even think of it. Watch how I play it this way. You know, just try it this way. And then that for me is the challenge always. Not that I come to change things.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just go with the flow.
Yeah.
You know, you need that. It's needed. Yeah. And then there are times that people just go, wow, you've got something different. I don't know what it is. But it's something different.
When you look back, what are some, you've had accolades, you've had so many experiences.
Yeah.
What are some for you that stands out, even as we land this interview? What are some of the real highlights in your acting career over the years?
The people.
The people.
Always the people.
Okay.
You can say, I worked on this movie. This movie won so many awards, and I won awards, you know. But the awards are for my achievement, but it never speaks of the relationship we had. You know, that for me is, every time I look back on a good play I did or a good movie I did, it's about the people that the friends I made, you know, the people who affected me and who I affected. That for me is why we are called. After all, it's part of the commission, you know. Go and make disciples of all nations. So for me, that's the important thing, how people affect us.
What do you see that God is doing now as we learn this? What do you sense God is doing in South Africa, in the continent, in terms of the shifts He's bringing?
Well, South Africa and Africa is part of the end time revival. It's not going to start in America, the end time revival. Not in Singapore or Japan or Russia. It's going to start in Africa. God is releasing His sons and daughters to be able to take the end time message to the rest of the world. And you know, things, the world, the way the world is going, the way the world is going, you know what's happening, you know. I believe God is beginning to reveal and unpack and unpackage the gift. And the gift is in this nation, in South Africa. And it's going to take the whole of Africa with it before it goes to the rest of the world. So we as Africans, as the first people of this planet, literally, we believe Eden was somewhere in Africa, are going to be the people that takes the gospel also to the rest of the world. A wonderful gospel, an end time revival gospel.
I guess the Lord is probably speaking to the church in Africa, that scripture that says, arise and shine, for your light has come. Darkness covers the earth. And like you said, we're living through very trying times.
Yes.
There's darkness everywhere.
Yes.
It looks like a time when there is a lot of pain. And yet it says, this is the time you got to arise and shine. And what better way to do it than the way He said, you know, when he said, what can anything good come out of Nazareth?
Yes.
And it looks like they say, can anything good come out of Africa?
Africa.
God says,
Africa.
It's our right season. From that place.
It's our time.
I'm going to bat my last revival.
Yes.
Zen, it's been so wonderful talking to you, just to see the journey you've gone through over 4 decades and the powerful impact you're having through fatherhood, so that people can contact you on that. What's your last word as we land this?
For men, I want to say, don't underestimate your importance, men. Whether you're a good father or not, don't underestimate your importance. There's a young boy that needs to know that you are proud of him. There's a young girl that needs to know you love her and that you esteem her. And there's a woman who's waiting for you to take your place so that she can support you. You know, God is for family. God, a family isn't some social construct. God brought
the family. The first institution.
Yes. I mean, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He himself. 3-in-1 family. So if we restore the man to his rightful place in the home first, not church, not business. Don't become a great provider. Be a present father. Then I will see that God will move and we will change society. Homes will change, families will change, and we'll see this country, especially South Africa, become just a different nation, because men have stepped up and taken their place.
Thank you so much. We've been talking to Zane Mayers, and he's a very popular actor here in South Africa, and of course around the world, because many people watch you on Netflix and the rest. And he's also a producer of films, and more importantly, the CEO of Fatherhood Foundation. His call and his mandate to redeem the place of the fathers. Thank you so much, Zane. And we've just been blessed having you. Looking forward to talking with you and your wife.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, Chip. It was really great chatting.
Thank you for joining us this week. I'll see you later. Bye for now.